Gateway Christian Center. Experience life.
Okay, so you can have your seats. Amen. Okay, I thank you, sir, for this privilege given to me to be here again and to be part of this meeting. And I also thank God for the grace given to me. Just like you called, I just came back last week, Friday. And currently, we met in a program. I started another program Thursday evening, yesterday evening. And I'll be going back this evening. After today, I'll be ministering there again this evening. Hallelujah. So I thank God for the grace and for the strength. And then thank God for also bringing us safely. I know some of us may have come from outside Gombe Metropolis. Thank God for the journey messages. And thank God for what I've been doing through other ministers. I just come to make myself available for God to use me to contribute. And then see how our lives will be helped in the name of Jesus Christ. Okay, let us pray in Jesus' name. Almighty Father, we thank you for this opportunity to sit at your feet and learn from you. I ask, O God, that you open the door for transform me, and I ask that you use me to speak your word this moment. I also pray that you open the door of faith, my Father, for everyone here, the audience. Let your word come to us as it's supposed to come, and let it make impact in our lives in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Can I hear a louder amen? Amen. Okay, we are looking at understanding your ministerial destiny. Understanding your ministerial destiny. Very, very important. Very, very important. Especially for people who are, you know, young and new in ministry. It's very, very important to them. And this is something that somebody, once you give your life to Jesus, the first prayer point you're supposed to engage, you know, yourself in seriously is understanding what God will have you do in the house of God. Now, Paul was an example to us. In fact, not that very moment after his encounter with Jesus, while he was still on the ground, the next thing he did was to ask him, "What will you have me do?" Very important. And I know that many people who I ministry today didn't pray that prayer. They didn't seek to know. And it's like they were controlled by the things happening around, or ministers that have gone ahead of them, or those of them that they have respect for. And so they have to follow and then just key into what they see around them. And there are so many that what controlled them was not actually what God would want them to, but they look around, you know, just the mindset of business. They are looking at what ministry now, what, you know, which one is lucrative. And then because what is at the back of their mind is to make money. And so you see today now, it seems as if prophetic is what is reigning. So everybody wants to become a prophet. And I know some people that initially they were not called as prophets. They were called teachers. But suddenly, the person began to prophesy. But I know that spiritual gifts, they take time to develop. And then somebody suddenly overnight start prophesying. I have to look at you twice and know where that thing is coming from. So, people just want to become prophets because it seems that is what is giving money now. And it seems that that is what will draw the crowd. But let me tell you, you can operate in another person's field and leave your own. And it's a problem. One of the reasons why you are struggling is because you are not where God have ordained for you to be. You don't invent it. You only discover it. And once you have not discovered it, to walk in that path, then you're on your own.
You know, I can imagine one time like that, David wanted to fight against the Philistines and he inquired of the Lord. And the Lord said to him, when you hear the sound on the mulberry tree, then you know I've gone ahead of you. Just come and meet me there. You can imagine God had gone and David now goes somewhere else and they start fighting there. He must surely lose that battle, sir. Because it's not where God is waiting for him. So that's how it is in ministry. Once you get into a different thing, that's not what God has called you to do. You're on your own. The resources will not be there. You will pay your fare. Hallelujah. Whatever thing, you will take care of yourself. So I want us to look at the scripture and then we start from there. Jeremiah chapter 1. I want to also read verses 4 to 5. Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 to 5. Now, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. So before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. That means God has his blueprint before he was formed in the womb. God has his plan, the plan of Jeremiah, before he was formed in the womb. Very, very important. And he said, before you were born, I ordained you, I sanctified you, I set you apart as a prophet. He was set apart from the pattern. And you will see the pattern, because earlier the Bible tells us that his father was a priest. And the way they do it then is a bloodline something. So once a man is a priest, he's already settled. His children will follow in that line. Do you remember Aaron and his children? Yes. So if your father is a priest, of course you are qualified and you'll be in that line to be a priest. So if they should follow that, Jeremiah should also serve as a priest. But God said to him, before you were born, I set you apart. So I set you apart from the pattern, because you're not going to walk in that line. And if Jeremiah didn't hear from God, he would have entered into priesthood. Okay. And then we're walking outside God's plan for him. Are you following me now? Outside God's plan for him. So he said, I've ordained you. Set you apart. Ordained you. Now, ordination is something that had taken place even before he was born. Excuse me. Are you following what I'm saying now? Now, he has ordained. What it means, that thing is has a lot inside. When God said, I've ordained you, it means that everything you need, I have packaged you. Okay. I have equipped you. In fact, your size and height is all in line to meet up and to fit up with what the ministry you are going to carry out. If not, why is it that Paul was put inside the basket? Because his size is small enough to go through the hole. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because God already knew the Kent he's going to face. So even his size, are you getting what I'm saying now? Was all packaged to meet up with the ministry that God is giving to him. So your height and everything about you actually have to fit into the ministry. So once you are off, a lot of things goes wrong around you. So God said, when you are still in the womb, I knew you. I ordained you a prophet. Now, he didn't follow the pattern on ground. You have to know what God called him to do. Listen to me, every one of us here, God has something he has called you to do. So ministry is not something you invent. You don't force yourself into something else. Hey, it's something you discover. It's something you discover. So you must have to discover it. Listen. God handled something here. Because if you look at this, you know the story. You remember there was a lot of complaint. Jeremiah complained a lot. Now, God wanted him to know that actually, these complaints, I never expected them. Well, they are coming because you don't know the thing from origin. You don't know the plan. That's why you're complaining. And even when you say, I can't talk, I'm afraid I'm a child, you don't know that I've already packaged you. Are you hearing me now? Kai, are you hearing me now? So it's like God was saying, this person that's complaining is not the person I created. I know who I made. And this is not what I'm expecting from you. I know. So you have to take him back. Understand this thing, that I planned this thing. And I already have ordained you to fit into this. So it's very, very important. And so, what is it that have determined? What are factors that determine what you are doing today in the house of God? As a minister, you know there are different ministries. Hallelujah. Are you following me now? There are different ministries. So what is it that is a determinant factor to what you are doing today? You must answer that question. Very important. Some years back, I was in my office, and a young man came in, and they told me he came from outside Gombe. I've forgotten this, one of the states, I think from the west. And he came with envelope. He printed envelope, and with one, he gave me one on the, in the office. And said he's called to serve as a missionary. And then I asked him, which people group did God call you to? He mentioned a place in Adamawa. And then I said, what is this envelope for? He said, actually, he's looking for money to buy microphone and to buy other things, like a PA system. I said, you say you are called to serve as a missionary, and then in one village, one interior in Adamawa. I said, what do you need microphone for? Then I asked him a very important question. Have you been there before? He said, no. So how do you know you need microphone now? How do you know that this is what you need there? I just see somebody that is covetous. Someone that what is after is money. Now he felt that this will be a means of getting money. So once he said missions, you drop emotion and I move to give him money. You have not been there before. You have not even seen the people that you say God sent you to. You have not even interacted with them. You have not met with them. And you're asking for money. How do you know that microphone is important there, PA system? So we must answer the question, a very serious thing. What are factors behind you coming to ministry? And you doing what you are doing? Hallelujah. Very, very important. And I also want you to know, a son doesn't inherit his father's pulpit by surname. He carries it by grace, gift, and calling. Listen, if we must go to the Bible, we must speak the truth. You see, this issue of my son inherit the thing, you must make sure, is he called? Does he have that grace? That your father is a pastor and a full-time minister, and a pastor a church, does not make it automatic that you also must be a pastor that will take over from him. What if the child is not called to do that? What if the child doesn't have the grace to do that? So we must find out from God, what is it that you want have me do? What is it that you have me do? Hallelujah. Destiny is not self-made. God drafted you before your birthday. Your job is to discover and develop it. You don't invent it at all. And I want you to get this. Ignorance is one of Satan's weapons. That's what God wants to handle here. That's why we are looking at understanding your ministerial destiny. Very important. Ignorance is one of Satan's weapons. What you don't know, Satan uses. Very important. Very important. So, what we are trying to deal with, or I say God is trying to deal with, is to give you an understanding. So, one of the things by the grace of God I'll be doing at the end is to help us to know, give you things that will help you. Hallelujah. To understand your area of calling, what God wants you to do. Okay, are you following me now? That's one of, because it's more important than any other thing. We can tell you why it's bad not to do do it anyhow or do it wrongly. But if you don't give, tell you how. You know, most of our messages talk about why. But the most important part of the message is the how. Is somebody following me now? Is the how. And so we are going to be looking at the how. So ignorance is very powerful, a very powerful tool in the hands of the devil. And that's what God also wants to deal with it always. That's why in 1 Corinthians 12, Paul said, as for spiritual gifts, I don't want you to be ignorant of it. I don't want you to be ignorant. And then he began to explain so many things. So one of the things that devil fights is your understanding, illumination, insight. He will want to block it. Now, if you look at the story, the parable of the sower, the first thing that happens is that when the seed is sown, the birds of the air comes to pick it up. When Jesus explained it, he said, when you hear the word, the enemy takes it off so that you don't understand. Every other thing that followed have to go understanding first before the root will take place. And then you talk of the root not going down or deep. Then before you talk of the stone, you know, blocking it. And then you talk of the thorns and then thistles choking it. But the first thing that understanding must take place. If there is no understanding, there's not going to be an outstanding result. So understanding is very powerful, and devil knows that. So one thing he parades is he wants you to remain ignorant of so many things. Ignorant of what God will want you to do. Ignorant of God's plan for you. Hallelujah. As far as ministry is concerned. I want you to understand that in the body of Christ, every believer is gifted and called to ministry. Hello? In the body of Christ, every believer is what? Gifted and called into ministry. You know the scriptures. And then let's just read some of them as we proceed. Let's look at Ephesians 4 from verse 11. Let's look at that scripture. Ephesians 4 from verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body. So these people have very critical, job to do. In fact, other people are to sit under them. They serve as mentors. Is someone following me now? To build up others, to equip others. Their position is leadership position. Hello. It's expected that in a local church, you should have pastors, apostles, prophets, all operating in the same local church. Hello? Hey, hallelujah. So they are all expected to be there in the leadership position because they are the people that will be helpful in raising others, in equipping others, and then raising them up. Now listen, an apostle, in fact, we can explain this with our fingers. You know, this thumb stands for the apostle. And this one can touch the whole. It can touch this, can touch this, can touch this. So an apostle can walk with all. And then an apostle can also manifest almost all the gifts. Because he's the sent one. He starts new work. So when he goes to a place and the other giftings have not been in place, is expected to actually cover them up. And then be able to raise others. Hallelujah. Are you getting what I'm saying now? So he can touch the whole. And then this stands for the prophet. So the prophet, look at this. This is the hand, the finger you always use to warn. So the prophet is there watching to see if the church is drifting from the eternal program. Are you hearing me now? The work of a prophet is more than seeing the color of your dress and then understanding whether you ate garri or beans or last night. These things are nonsense. And then telling you your phone number. Is that a prophetic word? You don't know your phone number? That is exposed here and there. So, we are talking about something serious. We are talking about something. Are you getting what I'm saying now? People like Isaiah that gave church direction many, many years ago. They could see into the future. Are you getting what I'm saying now? Talking about like men like David. Hallelujah. that was here on earth but could decode what is going on in heaven. When the two lords were discussing, he could assess what they were saying. And he said, my Lord said to my Lord. Excuse me, was he invited? This was discussion going on between two lords. But he could assess the heavens and could hear the discussion going on. Come on, may God raise such prophetic grace for us again. Not people that are seeing Gary and Kamuandakara, you hate. So, they are the people that are meant to look at the church and say, no, we are missing it. We are missing it. This is not the vision. This is not the direction. This is not what God has in mind for us. So, they warn. This is it. And then this one represents evangelists. It's longer than every other finger. So, they moves out. They goes out. Their ministry is out. They goes out of the church. They go out to reach out to the unbelievers. And then to bring them into the church. Sometimes there are conflicts because we don't understand our ministry. We don't understand what God's called to do. So if you are called to serve as an evangelist, many a times there will be conflict in the church because he will always be complaining. We are not going out, sir. We are not reaching out, sir. We all here, sitting down here, not doing anything, not going out. He's complaining because of the grace he carries in his side. But the pastor that is focusing on this has his own grace. Because we are also to equip and then raise these people. If you bring them in and we didn't equip them, then we go back. Is somebody following me now? So what the pastor is doing is also important. But if you don't understand this, then there will be complaints. But he's speaking because of the grace he carried inside. Something is speaking from within. Something is saying, no, I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do. But the problem is that many times we generalize it. No, you should know that that is your calling. And then allow the other person to continue to do his own calling. We are all building for one master. We are all building for one master. So, is go out. And then you have this. That is the pastoral. That's time for the pastor. Where do you put your wedding ring? That's that finger. That is how close pastors are to members. If you are called as a pastor, you don't easily divorce the church. You don't easily leave the church. You don't easily leave the people. And sometimes apostles are, they don't understand. Prophet can't understand pastors. You know, they say, you are so soft. You are gentle with them. Rebuke that man. No. The pastor cannot go that way. The pastor believes I can nurture him. I can see something good can still come out of that person. But the prophet will say, warn him. No, this thing has been too much. I beg. No, pastor, I don't understand what we are doing here. Pastor, you are compromising now. They say you are afraid of people. You are looking at faces. And so you see the trouble among us. You are looking at faces. Pastor is not looking at faces. The thing that is going on in his mind is a father. The pastor is looking at the person with the kind of heart you are not looking at the person with. The pastor is seeing future. You may be seeing trouble and a lot of problem that is going on and the challenges he has. The pastor believes that he can be handled. Something good can still come out of that person. And then you see the pastor still sending the person on errand just to keep him close. Why is the pastor doing like this? Hallelujah. That's hallelujah. So we must understand this thing. That's why it's important to understand your ministerial word, destiny. If you don't know this, conflict everywhere. Complain everywhere. And then the last one stands for teachers. If you want to clean your ear. Yeah, that's what you put here. So teachers teach. You know, they explain scriptures. They take it precept by precept, line by line. They want to give you an understanding. And they are looking at it. Are you getting what I say now? Did you get it? He said, no, I didn't get it. He will go back again. And then take it again and say, I hope you are following. I hope you are getting it. Then, line by line, precept by precept. Hallelujah. And some of us don't like sitting under teachers. Because you said the thing is not hot. But you see, preaching is for unbelievers. But teaching is for believers. That is what establishes people in the church. You use teaching to establish members. So after preaching, I brought you to the Lord. Sit down. Sit down and let and be taught. Sit down. Sit down and be taught. So many people don't like to listen to teachers, but they are very important. They are very important. In fact, in Acts Apostles, Paul and Barnabas, you know, Barnabas came to Antioch. And that is Acts Apostles chapter 11. Came to Antioch. And then he did some things there and then went in search for Paul. Now, finally when he got Paul, he came back to Antioch with Paul and they settled down in Antioch, two of them. The Bible said that they taught believers in Antioch for 1 year. That ministry they did there produced, are you hearing me now? Disciples that many people look at and don't know what else to call them. But they can only link them up to Christ. And that's why they call them Christians. That name just simply means Christ-like. So that's the product of teaching. That's the result of teaching ministry. They taught them. And then these people could go home, come back, listen again, go and come back. Teaching ministry is powerful. Paul taught for 2 years in the hall of Tyrannus. And then that produced, the Bible said that the word of God spread out. Hey, listen to me. The church of Colossae was planted by, what is it? By Epaphras, who was a student of that school. So he went and planted the church of Colossae. Yes. But when he was faced with challenges of false prophets and false teachers, he couldn't handle the matter. Then he had to run back to Paul. That was when Paul had to pen down the book of Colossians to handle the problems and then deal with them. So, but you see, it's as a result of teaching ministry. That's what brought the young man that went and planted a church. Teaching ministry establishes people. Very powerful. Very, very powerful. In fact, as you continue to grow in the Lord and get mature in the Lord, you will love teaching more. Ah, I tell people, it's not everything I will sit down and be listening now. Fire, fire, yeah, 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 fire, yeah, 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 yeah. Haba. You have 1 hour to preach. You use 20 minutes to shout fire. You use 5-10 minutes to shout praise God. Then you use the other 10 minutes to shout, you know, something else. No, no. What am I doing with fire? Yeah, 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 yeah. That's not what I'm looking for. I am looking at, I want to gain. I want to receive something. I want to be impacted. There are scriptures I don't know the interpretation. I want you to explore. Open scriptures for me. So, as you continue to grow in the Lord, you will notice that you will see yourself bending to the tide of teaching. That's what you love the more. That is what you want to hear the more. Because it gives you deeper understanding. A minister, mature minister, a scripture that is explained well to him opens thousands of scriptures to him. Because as you are listening, the Holy Spirit is connecting scriptures to you, opening things and linking things up to you. So this is important that we understand this. So as we are seated down here, I believe you must know, am I an apostle? Am I a prophet? Am I a teacher? Am I a pastor? You must understand that. That which God has called you to do, you must have to understand. But we are going to help us, by the grace of God, to give us tips on how you can know. Is someone hearing me now? Yeah, very important. But you must understand this. Now, you now come to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Okay, but before we get there, you also notice that these ones are the ones that Bible said they will equip the saints. They will equip. So they are like mentors, okay, coaches, are you hearing me now? To coach others. So in a local assembly, hey, are you following me now? Other people must understand that prophets are to raise other prophets. Amen. Apostles are to raise other apostles. Pastors are to raise, oh my God. That is why you hear in Old Testament, you hear the songs of the prophets. Because these are people that have that, and they go and they sit under those prophets now, major prophets. Are you hearing me now? They sit under them. What are they doing there? It's discipleship. It's bringing them up in that calling. So that is what must understand that. And listen to me. Many a times, our mind goes just for what we can get from people. The reason why people should come around you, first of all, is not because of the envelope they're giving to you. Hey, listen to me. Somebody you have not conquered his heart, you cannot access his pocket. Because he's still alive. When you want to go to the pocket, he will close his pocket. But conquer somebody's heart, he will open his pocket by himself for you. Somebody have not impacted. What do you want to receive from him? So we must major on doing the work. Understand your calling and what God has called to do. And focus on it. Excuse me. The people, they are the field. They are you hearing me now? And we are the workers. So you work on the field. The field are the people. The people that are the field. So you work on their lives. You work. And then make sure that you raise them up to become what God will want them to be in life. There is no man you will help to become, to fulfill destiny that will ever forget you. You didn't hear what I said? No. That will ever forget you. Many a times they help in the ways you don't even know. They are looking for a way to pay back. I don't know what I'm right, sir. They are looking for ways to pay back. They will not even tell you. My daughter in the school, somebody called her, and then she called me and said, Daddy, do you remember Dr. So-so-so? I said, yes. He said, the doctor called him, called her, and I asked her, what is your need, your pressing need now? And then bought some things, and then they said, your father has been of so much blessing to me. I have been looking for a way to pay back. Let me say something hard. Somebody asked me, but why did you do that? I said, I don't know. The doctor had earlier called me, said I should give him my daughter's number, phone number. I didn't do that. Then when my daughter now called me, then I have to call the doctor. I appreciated him, but how did you get the number? He said, I have to call somebody else to get the number. It's more honorable for me. Don't worry, you may not understand. But if God have ordained that thing will get to her, no devil will stop it. Ravens carry meat that was meant for Elijah. They are carnivorous birds. But that one was prohibited. They can't eat that one. You didn't get what I'm saying? Huh? That one was... And not only one day. The bird did that one several times. Will carry meat in his mouth. But that one, they can't eat that meat. That meat must get to the person that meat is meant for. Let me tell you. When you walk in the will of God, nobody can take away what belongs to you. What God has ordained that is for you must come to you. Can I hear a louder amen? I said, can I hear a louder amen? It must come to you. It must come to you. So let's bend down and walk. The people that are the field, they are the building. We are laborers, co-laborers, co-laborers with God. And then we walk together with God. Let's focus on building people. Maximizing the ministry, the calling God has given to you to work on the lives of people and to build them up. Hallelujah. And then you come to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, he began to expand again, talking about the other kinds. He said, now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I will not have you ignorant. I will not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. So he reminded them where they're coming from. Okay? Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Okay? Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Wait here. I want to take note of something here. Diversities of gift, but the same Spirit. Do you notice that S is in capital letter? Huh? Now, that means Holy Spirit. So, when we are talking about spiritual gifts, and ministerial gifts. Hello? Kai, are you following me now? We are talking about gifts given to you by the Holy Spirit. Kai, is somebody following me now? That's what we are talking about. Sir, there is what is called natural talent. That's why you can see an unbeliever that can sing well. That's not what we're talking about. We are talking about gifts given to you by the Holy Spirit. Do you know that even devil gives gifts? Of course now. In Acts of Apostles chapter 16, do you remember that lady there? The lady now that was prophesying. Of course, go and check it. And check it in Bible commentary. You notice that lady was operating with python spirit. Are you hearing me now? And then telling people about their future. You see, you must be very careful. When you are running after miracle, running after, you must be very careful to know where you are getting that thing. You are getting that thing they told. Where is it coming from? So, you can see people who have natural talents to sing. That's not what I'm talking about. We are talking about ministerial gifts. Things that have come from the Holy Spirit and are deposited inside of you to help the church, to help the people. Are you following me now? So, he began to mention them. Hallelujah. So, let's continue now. Now, there are diversity of gifts for the same Spirit. Okay? And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. Okay? And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God that worketh all in all. The next verse. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man. That's the point. The manifestation of what? Is given to how many people, please? Every man to what? To profit wither. Now, to every man to profit. The spiritual gift you have, your ministerial gift, is meant to profit others. Hallelujah. It is meant to profit others. First, not you. No, you didn't hear what I said. It's meant to profit others. It's meant to profit others. Now, I want you to take note of something here. The manifestation of the Spirit. So, it is the manifestation of the Spirit. So, what does that mean? It is the Spirit itself, are you hearing me now? Inside of you, operating now. Now, manifesting the gift is not you. It's the Spirit in this side. That is is from the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Very, very important too. So, it is not what you want. It is not how you want it. The Spirit is the one responsible. He's the one in charge. It's the manifestation of the Spirit. So, you must be looking and trusting the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. To do these things through you. Then to somebody, then words of wisdom. To another person, are you hearing me now? That of healing. So, in the same house, but the Spirit is doing different things through different people. Hey, are you getting what I'm saying now? So, you see why it's important to understand your ministerial destiny. You see, when you talk of destiny, you are talking about something that already God has ordained it. God has already settled. This is what you are going to do for me. It's not something that they're coming out now to begin to work it out and plan it out. No, it's already there. So before you came, before you are born, before you repented, God already had known and said, this one, I will use this person powerfully in the area of healing. And so when you give your life to Jesus and then receive the Holy Spirit, then the Spirit of God now puts in you that manifestation of what? The healing power and healing grace. So, it is you to discover it. Is somebody hearing me now? It's you to discover it. And then like that, that of miracles, signs and wonders, can then talk about the prophecy, are you hearing me now? Interpretation of tongues and all that. So, you must understand the area. And then Romans 12, let us understand there are other, many of them, and which we cannot enter into now. Many, 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 many. Hallelujah. Now, without understanding your ministerial destiny, you will serve everywhere and burn out. you will serve everywhere and burn out. Because you will go here and you walk here. And tomorrow we will see you in the other place. Next tomorrow you are here. And the other day you are here. The other time you are here. And you don't know where and what God has called you to do. So you will burn out. You can't give yourself only to everything. So you are here, you are there, you are there. You want, you know, many a times, for example, if teaching ministry now, begin, you know, if there are people who are successful, so to say, in quote, in this grace of teaching. When you notice that some of them are, that they are rising, there are many of them now, then you also notice that many young ministers will also begin to go towards that direction. They also want to become teachers. Are you getting what I'm saying now? So when you notice that pastoral ministry is also booming now, and then a lot of them are becoming, making hell while going here and there, affecting life, many young ministers will want to become pastors. Listen, very dangerous. Many, many years ago, there this man of God that came to Nigeria. I think Benny Him. You see, at that time he came, he had this leather Bible that you can turn and squeeze and bend anyhow. So when he wants to preach, he will bend the Bible and bend it like this. You see? And you see, the anointing will be flowing. Power will be flowing. Then when he left, many of the ministers then, when they come to preach, they will bend their Bible like that. They thought that is where the anointing is coming from. It's not based on how you bend your Bible. Are you getting what I'm saying now? No. Not based on how you bend your Bible. I say, you see, many of them, we bend the Bible and they hold it like this and they start talking. Some of us emulate the voice, how people speak. Eh? And you think that's where the anointing is. That the communion will say, in Jesus' name, I pray. Now, when some people, they see, they will not just imitate it and say, because when he shouted, immediately he said, in Jesus' name I pray, the crippled will walk, the blind eyes will open. And then you come and say, in Jesus' name I pray. When you finish, those blind eyes will be there closed, they'll be looking at you. It's not in the way you shout it. Is somebody hearing me now? It's not the way you shout it. No, it's not there at all. So I see, I think I had T.D. Jakes. He said one day something happened and he lost himself and he wanted to preach like Bishop Noe Jones. So he was preaching and I carry microphone like this. You know, when the man charged like this, he will be, in fact, he'll be wondering how is he getting what he's saying. No, I don't know what I'm saying now. As if it's recorded somewhere. The thing is just flowing. But at the beginning, he starts like somebody that doesn't even know what to say. In fact, he said one day his father watched him, you know, where he was about to preach. And when he started, and then my father one time said, are you sure you know what you are going to say here? Are you sure you know what you want to say? Because that's, he starts slowly. As if he don't. But towards the end of the thing, you know, like locomotive engine, the way the thing starts, pam, 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 pam. So then when the thing gets to a level, you see him handle microphone like this. Then T.D. Jakes said, one day he was preaching, something came on him, over him. And he wanted to do that thing. So he carried microphone, do like this, hit his mouth. Once the thing touched his mouth, he had a voice that said, you are not T.D. Jakes, you are not Noel Jones. Just remain T.D. Jakes. Just remain T.D. Jakes, you are not Noel Jones. You know, so stay to your calling, stay to that. That's why what we're looking at is very critical, very important. Let me tell you, you cannot make impact in ministry outside your ministerial destiny. You cannot. The grace of God is not there. God cannot support you. He can't walk with you. You will remain stagnant. You are not going anywhere because you are not even entered into the thing. So we can't talk about progress. We can't talk about progress. So it's very, very, very critical. Listen now, I said again, that when you understand your lane, ministry stop being pressure and start being joy. When you understand your lane, and then I want you to get this, that purpose determines design. What did I say? Purpose determines design. microphone. Purpose first before the design. It's designed this way. Hallelujah. Because of what? The purpose is reserved. Can you imagine this becoming like this? This is microphone. How do you carry it and how do you use it? So, purpose determine design. Now, listen to me. What I'm want to say to you is that your ministerial destiny, are you hearing me now? Played a major role in God designing you. Everything about you. Hallelujah. Everything about you. Everything about you. So if you're outside your ministerial destiny, you can never function well. You cannot. Because purpose determines design. Laboring outside your design and gifting brings toil. Struggling with all your energy without fruit. And I want to say that we must understand, sorry, we must grasp our ministries and understand their dynamics. That's another angle to this. Because even after you have understood your calling and that ministerial destiny, your calling, there is also the aspect of the dynamics in that. Is somebody hearing me now? Now, if you're a teacher, you must understand certain things that as a teacher, you need to give yourself to study. Because if they're though gifted, though called, are you hearing me now? As a teacher, but you must understand that there are things you need to do. That's why I added the issue of developing it. Because some of us, the problem is that though you know it, you are in it, but the dynamics you don't understand. And sometimes it will look as if nothing is working. And then that's why so many people also want to tempted to do what? To leave it and go somewhere else. Now, you are looking at somebody that has given, taking time to also develop his gifting. And so you want to join him and run over to that side. As long as you are not ready to labor, you will also be disappointed there. I was in a meeting in Jos, and the minister said that a time came in his life when he became frustrated, discouraged. And he would always leave his house and go to his friends, who are also pastors, who he believe that God is, you know, God is helping them, and they are, you know, progressing in what they are doing. So he says, since they are my friends, I always need to visit them and go and say with them, maybe help will come from there. They can connect me and open doors for me. Ministry is not like that. It's not like that. And so he will always go to them and meet them during their office time, you know, as friends, and they're talking and talk and talk. He will notice that at a point, their face will change. Because to them, you are disturbing us. And many times, when we beg them for money, he will not hear, oh, because he will have heard from them how they spend 1 billion, how they spend 500,000. So the thing will enter his head. Then he feel if I beg them money, they will give me money. So when they ask now, when he asks them money, and I say, ah, sorry, oh, you, I didn't mean you came yesterday. Ah! And then one day he said, the Holy Ghost spoke to him and said, don't you have your own place where you can stay? How many of these people come to check you? Have come there to stay with you? How many of people like this leave important things and come and stay with you? He said, ah, okay, I have to go back to my base now. People should come, if they want to see me, let them come and see me there. He said that was when he learned to sit down and then carry the Bible. Because the instrument, you are talking about that, which we need for ministry is the word. Hey, I don't want to say now. It doesn't matter, is the word. Excuse me, can we have Colossians chapter 3, verse 16? Colossians 3, 16, 17. Hallelujah. Now, look at the scriptures. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, comma, Okay, semicolon. Then what do you have there now? Teaching. What do you see first as foundation? The word. The word as foundation now. The word. It reproduces the teaching gift and teaching grace. It helps you. Then what next? And admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. What do you see another thing here? Even in music is foundational. The word. Is somebody hearing me now? The word. There is somebody, a musician, gospel musician, from the eastern part of the country. He has been on for years. And most of his songs, they don't lose power and relevance. And one day I sit down. I have to check his songs. Many of them are scriptural based. You didn't hear what I'm saying? They come from the word. From the word of God. They come from the word of God. So, very, very important. What we are looking at is very important. Because you have to sit down. Study to show yourself what? Approved. Rightly dividing the word of truth. So the dynamics of the ministry must understand. This is where the fivefold ministry, they are very important, because you notice that you sit under a teacher. Hey, it will surprise you to know that Timothy sat under Paul's teaching for 19 good years. Just anywhere Paul will teach, he will be there. Anywhere Paul, he will be there. Listening to the teachings of Paul. Looking at what Paul was doing. That's why he said that, Timothy, you know everything about me. Eh? The persecutions I went through. You understand everything. You know everything about me. Because they have been together. They have been together. So you must make out time. Understand the gift you have, your calling. And then who can I sit under? Who can I be close to? So that I can also learn the dynamics of this thing from the person. Listen, it's not every, you know, many a times we are out, we are looking forth for the one that we project your name. Excuse me, it's not your name first. It is the name of the Lord. Not your name, not your name, not your name. Your name mustn't be heard here and there. People must not be hearing your name. Excuse me, there's a woman called Suzette. I know many of us maybe have not had that name, but Suzette, I don't know whether she's still alive now, but at the time I knew her, she was the prayer coordinator, Rehoboam Case Evangelic Ministry. She's the prayer warrior in charge of the intercessory group, Suzette. I wrote to her, she replied my letter, I asked her certain questions. You don't hear about Suzette. Many of us have not had that name. But Rehoboam Case calls her my armor bearer. If Bonke is to come for crusade in Gombe when he was alive, Suzette would have been in Gombe a month before that day. Nobody will know. She will lodge in a hotel with some prayer warriors bombarding heaven. You wouldn't know she's in town. Only for the date you will see on the flyer, Bonke will fly in, you know, come in. And then start the program. She will be there. Any information from heaven, she will be sending it to Bonke there. You wouldn't know that the woman is there. Nobody knows about, but heaven knows about the woman. She fulfilled her own calling. Are you getting what I'm saying now? She understood his ministerial destiny. And nobody knew her. You don't hear Suzette. But heaven, you know, there will be surprises in heaven, oh. Some people you will say, the name is everywhere. Maybe the person have wrote off point. And then you arrive in heaven and they ask you, who told that thing you did? Who gave you that? Is that what we ask you to do? Who gave you that? You just miss out of everything. You wrote off point. May I not write off point with my one life? You didn't hear what I said. My one life. Can you imagine you have one match, one stick, and you need to light, you know, you are hungry, and you must cook and eat, and one. Can you tell me how careful, you know? You will guide it. Ah, no. You will get that. You will turn like this and check the direction of the wind. You will turn this way. You will get that. In fact, you very close, you get that, you will cover that thing. You will guide it. Because it's precious. Tell someone by your side, you have one life. Just one. And you know that one life, you are a seed. One. So, can you imagine writing off point, going off? When you finish, you stand like this, they tell you miss it. All this are running up and down. We don't even know who sent you. Well, that's what they asked you to do. And then you say, I saw Pastor so and so. In fact, the team was working for him. The man was going here and there, being invited here and there. Me, I thought that one would also help me. So, very, very important. Hallelujah. Okay. When we talk about ministry, you know, the word sounds big, but it's just a very simple thing. It's service. Is somebody hearing me now? So, your ministerial destiny is actually your divine service assignment. It's your divine service assignment. That is what it's all about. Your divine service assignment. Very, very critical. You need to understand that. And then, let me say this. How does ministry work? First, it begins with new birth. I've resolved. Because many a times when we gather like this and say ministers' conference, sometimes we don't raise the matter of new birth. We look at people and say, we are ministers already. But I tell you, there are people that assume pastoral offices that are not born again. No, you don't understand what I'm saying. Not born again. They're already ministering, they're not born again. They're already preaching, they're not born again. Yes. Okay, you have not heard the story of John Wesley. Hallelujah. You know, his father was a missionary. And he had been into missions. Following them and doing those things. Not born again, no? And one day, they were inside the ship. And there was a very terrible shipwreck. The ocean was just raging. The thing was, there was a young man, somebody inside the ship together with them. While everybody was panicking and shouting, the young man sat on the small box and they were singing hymns and smiling. People were shouting, people were panicking and that. So he said his eye on that young man. What kind of person is this? Everyone is panicking here. This one is relaxed. It was when the thing calmed down, then he went to him and said, "Who are you? Why everybody is panicking here, you know, afraid, and you are calm?" That was when they said, "The Lord Jesus is inside my heart. Why should I be afraid of what is going on?" That was the person that helped him to actually understand what it means to become born again. So many times when we come meetings like this, they say, this is just a minister's conference. We would not like to raise any matter like this. But I tell you, it's crucial. Can you imagine Jesus not telling Nicodemus? Because you know Nicodemus was already a teacher. Somebody is not feeling what I'm saying. And then, did you notice the way he asked him that question? Are you a teacher in Israel and you don't know these things? Meaning, what have you been teaching the people? Are you a teacher in Israel? You don't know this? So sometimes you see people already lifted high, and then, you know, a lot of this can influence these things. Hallelujah. When some of us, you are in a church where the pastor loves money, and then you are one of the people that are blessing him, he can easily lift you and promote you and say you should be in the council of elders. and then just bring you in there. But you know, bringing such people into such places is a very serious, you know, very serious error. So, it starts with new birth. You must have come to a point where you have heard the gospel, believed the gospel, and have decided to obey the gospel. Kai, are you hearing me now? To live by the gospel. And you can tell your past and your now, your present. You can't tell me you are born again, and you can't tell me your past and your now. Your life must not be the same. You must be able to tell the things you are doing in the past, and then who you are now. Yes, there can be mistakes now, but I can't call you a sinner. Are you hearing me now? But I can make mistakes. But you must know the difference. So it starts with being born again, new birth in Christ. Then that is when you are born into the house, to the family. Okay, is somebody hearing me now? That's when you are born, brought into the family of God. We can't bring strangers to come and serve the children, because we're not sure of the kind of food you will give to them. We can't leave children in the hand of strangers, because you may be struggling with the same thing they're struggling with. That's also your problem. So who will help who? So you must be born again. You must have experienced that new birth. It is a must. That's the beginning. That's why Jesus accept. You know, when you use the word accept, accept a man be born again. Accept. You cannot see the kingdom. You cannot enter the kingdom. So you must have entered the kingdom. And when we're talking about entering the kingdom, we're not talking about finally being in heaven. We enter the kingdom here before we get there. Oh, no, no, no. Now you get what I'm saying now. If you are born again, you're already inside the kingdom. So we can't bring somebody outside, a stranger, and then leave the children in his hand to serve them. Serve them with what? Can you tell the story of how you met the Lord? No, I'm asking us serious questions. Can you tell the story of how it happened? Or is it that you are born in a Christian home, and then your father a Christian and all that, then you know, from childhood, or have been taking you to church, and like that you continued and continued and continued and up till now? That's just what you know. So you must answer this, because it starts from there first. Hallelujah. Paul can tell you his encounter with Jesus. Can you imagine? Hallelujah. Can you imagine that Paul did not encounter Christ, and then Jesus met Paul somewhere, or the elders of the church met him somewhere. You know who he was then? And then carry him and say, come inside among us. You know, even after his repentance, when he entered the church, Paul didn't want to accept him. They were afraid. Can you imagine bringing such a person inside? And say, now come inside. You can help us see the leaders in the community, because you're a well-known man. So, check your heart and answer this question. Very important. So, it starts from there. So, that's the first thing that will happen to you. Then, we talk about Holy Ghost baptism. You must have received Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Now, in the new birth experience, there's a certain level of the Spirit of God that comes inside you. That is what we call the indwelling Spirit. But then, there is aspect of being baptized. So, when you use the word baptized, it's being immersed. So, you get the Holy Ghost in a level that you can do ministry. You can't do ministry without being baptized. That's why he said to them, wait there in the upper room. Hallelujah. Don't go out yet. He has taught them. He has taught them so many things. He must say, wait there until you are filled with the Holy Spirit, before you can move out, because you must be filled with the Holy Ghost for you to do ministry. You will confront things, so you need the power of the Holy Ghost in your life to be able to subdue, are you hearing me now, the things that will come your way, the challenges. So you need the Holy Spirit. So it's at this point that the Holy Spirit has comes inside you, drops, deposits, gives you the gift, are you hearing me now, that you will use to walk in the house of the Lord. So, are you baptized in the Holy Spirit? Have you received that? So, from there, the ministerial gifts you are talking about to serve others comes in. Then, the assignment of discovering this thing, this your divine service assignment. Discovering it. If you have discovered it, fine. Praise be to God if you have discovered that. Hallelujah. Then you sit under somebody, a mentor, to develop it. And then why doing the work? Not that we just sit down one place. Why doing the work? Because mentorship is not meant to cage you. Is somebody hearing me now? No. Mentorship is to help you. And every good mentor must also give you assignment. That's what Jesus did. He always sent them to go and preach. Send them to go and cast out devils. Are you hearing me now? They will now come back to report back. Because he's preparing them to take over from him. He's preparing them to be able to do the work. So you must be under somebody also who is also preparing you. Now, because we're talking about understanding your ministerial destiny, quickly take note of this. How do I know? This is the peak of the thing now. Because if we tell you what, and didn't tell you why, I mean how, and didn't tell you how, then we have not done anything. Why you have gathered here, I believe this is the main reason, looking at the team. Understanding. Am I correct? What I'm about to do now is the major thing. That is what the essence of this. The expectation is that by the time we are done with this conference, if somebody before now was confused, sir, clarity will come. Clarity will come. So, first thing. So I put it this way. I say, ask yourself these questions. Number one, what are you passionate about? What are you passionate about? What breaks your heart and set your spirit on fire for God's people? What breaks your heart and set your spirit on fire for God's people? What are you passionate about? Do you remember when Paul entered Athens? As he entered, he saw idols. Do you remember altars? And he couldn't stay. There was that stirring up in his spirit. Why he was, you know, that was the grace of evangelistic grace. Is somebody hearing me now? That evangelistic grace. Now, when you see unbelievers, when you hear that someone has not repented, and you see unbelievers, what happens in you? What are you passionate about? When you are looking at them, what happens in inside? I had a story of two people, both of them, they are all ministers of the gospel. They went somewhere. So, you know, they saw crowd. Then the other person was so excited. He said, crowd. You know, there are places you go, you will see crowd. Sometimes you wouldn't know. In fact, one day I was at the airport in Rwanda. I saw crowd. I said, people travel like this. You see crowd. Now, sometimes when you see crowd, you know, there are people that when they see crowd, ministers, they see money. Kai. Oh, God. When you invite them to preach and they enter the church, the auditorium, first thing they size, they look at people. How many people? And when they see few people there, their faces have changed already. They are not happy. They are not happy. Because money will not come out here. So, when you see crowd, so what, I was telling you a story about two ministers. Then the other person was so excited. See crowd, oh, people are here, plenty of people. Then when he turned to his friend, he noticed that his friend was already shedding tears. He said, what's going on here? He says, he's looking at these people, he's asking himself, how many of them are born again? I don't know whether, can you see the difference? He's asking himself, how many people are born again here? How many of them will go to heaven? That was what he was asking himself. So, for him, he saw an opportunity. These people need to be reached out to. These people have... Now, can you see evangelistic grace? Is somebody hearing me now? At work in his heart. What are you passionate about? That one is so sure. That man was an evangelist. Or is an evangelist. Simple. So, as I'm talking, be asking yourself, what are you passionate about? Somebody will not want people to be ignorant of anything. Once they meet with you and talk. Do you remember Apollos and Aquila? They just listened to this young man talk. When they listened to Apollos was talking, they were carefully watching. They could see this man is ignorant of so many things. And then they were like, Kai, is it possible that we can have opportunity to sit with him? We need to put things straight. We need to correct him. We need to do something in this life. So once the plan was done, as people may be rushing, Kai, great. Hi, powerful. You bless my soul today. Oh, wonderful. They were looking for an opportunity. And then immediately they get the thought touching. Can we have a word with you? We want to talk with you. And then when they now took him by the side, they said, please, we want to have more time with you. Please, can you, this is where we live. Can we be friends? Can we be close? Because these people were teachers. Are you hearing me now? And they felt, no, we must put things right in this life. We must put things through. And you see their ministry, it was powerful in Apollos' life. At the end of the day, the man became a very powerful speaker of the gospel, preacher of the gospel. What are you passionate about? Hallelujah. What are you passionate about? Now, you cannot be a healing minister. Are you hearing me now? That is not passionate when you see people sick. It's not just anointing. It's anointing plus passion, plus compassion. You are not compassionate when you see sick people. No, you are not a healing minister. You are not getting what I'm saying. If you're a healing minister, compassion is one of the things that you must see in you. You'll be looking at that person as if you should draw out the sickness with your hand. Whenever there is passion, result comes. So, check yourself, ask yourself, what are you passionate about? Now, what I'm trying to do now is to help us. Hallelujah. It's to help us. Now, you say you are called into music, you're a singing minister. And then, what about music? You don't sing music at... You see, if you see someone that is in that, even when cooking, you are singing. I don't mean singing for us in the church first. Somebody don't hear what I say. No. When you are cooking, when you are driving, you are singing. There is something about that. Are you hearing me now? You are so passionate about it. You are so passionate about it. You hear songs. You want to understand the wordings. You see, these are the things you are doing as individual on at an individual level. Before you are called up, this is what you have been doing. Hey, listen to me. It's not until when you are assigned to do something, then you go and sit down and begin to prepare. If that is your calling, are you hearing me now? You will know it. So such a person, waking up and say, come and lead us in choruses, in songs, he has been practicing before now.
Yeah.
That is what he loves doing. Sorry? That was what he loves doing. So ask yourself, this is the core of this meeting. So that at the end of this meeting, clarity will have come to you. Can I hear a louder amen? Clarity will have come to you. So that we don't be following people here and there. You know, the prophetic is now making headway, so let me become a prophet. And then you start telling things that God didn't tell you. You know, because people believe now, that's one that brings crowd. You don't know that teaching ministry also brings crowd. No, if you don't know, go and see Billy Akani. Excuse me, that man, doesn't he have crowd? You don't have crowd there? Is he prophesying? You won't hear prophesying. In fact, I don't know how many times he prayed for the sick. No, except if you know Billy, I don't know how many times he prayed for sick. But you see, nations are coming there. To sit down and he will teach them words. Sometimes, just two words. He will break in two words for 2 days. 3 days, just one word. And next time, people are coming. They want to come and hear. Because there is something about, you know, understanding your miserable destiny. Are you hearing me now? Once you key into it and get it, listen, when you are operating in it, people love you, blesses lives. So, what are you passionate about? Ask yourself that question. What are you passionate about? What do you enjoy doing? Aha. Hallelujah. What do you enjoy doing? You enjoy doing it. You enjoy it. You enjoy doing it. Let me give you an example from the Bible. Let's look at Luke chapter 2, verse 46 to 49. Luke 2, 46 to 49. Now, and it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him. Where? In the temple, sitting. That means they sought for him for 3 days. Hello? Please follow me. They sought him for how many days? Remember, they dismissed from the program. They were on their way going. They now later discovered he was not in their company. Then they have to go back again. So it took 3 days. Now, but when they met him on the third day, he was sitting. Sir, I want to believe that from the first day, he had been sitting. Can you sit down for 3 days? What was he doing? Listening and asking questions. He was sitting down. See, you say you are a teacher of the word. You can't sit down for 1 hour to study the Bible. You just sit down like this, and one inside come, you jump up. You know, I know that kind of thing. Hey! Bah, 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 bah. Hi, yeah, 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 yeah. Hi. Excuse me, I've not gotten it. Go and sit down. And you close your Bible immediately. Yeah, you got one out. Ha! You know, the next thing is, you are waiting for an opportunity. Where you are going to? Just go and share it. How many days? 3 days. 3 days. 3 days. I did my IT in Lagos, no, for my Bible school in Lagos. I will sit down in the office of the man of God. Sit down from morning. Once I entered the office, I will sit down on my desk. One day, his assistant came and looked at me and said, "You are a pastor indeed." Then he pointed to somebody else. I said, "Not this one. This one will go from here to here from morning. He's running up and down. This one is going. I don't know who called him. I don't know what he's called to do. Whether I even know he's called." He said, I sit down one place. I'm reading. I'm studying, because I love it. Hey, lock me inside a room. I don't care. I like it. Don't leave me alone. I can stay in a room from morning till evening without coming out. I love it. Are you getting what I'm saying now? I like it. So, what do you enjoy doing? This one is not because of money. Are you getting what I'm saying now? Was Jesus doing this because of the money they'll give to him? He loved, that is his passion. He's passionate about it. He loved it. Now look at the answer when they came. He said, "Don't we have been looking for you?" He said, "Are you looking for me? Don't you know? Don't you know I should be about my father's business? It's my father's business. Can you tell your neighbor it's your father's business? Not your senior pastor's business. It's your father's business. Handle the thing as your father's business. Handle it. It's your father's business. So, what do you enjoy doing? What do you enjoy doing? What do you enjoy doing? He sat down. Look at it. Sat down. 3 days. Asking questions. Listening to them. Answering them in one place. Just sitting down one place. So, what do you enjoy doing? Number three, what gives you fulfillment? So, it's not a matter of money now. What that after you are done, you finish doing. You know, I hate sickness. You see, you know why I hate sickness? Many times when I have preaching engagement and my body is telling me something else, guys, the thing pains me. And my wife understands that. Even when she's not feeling fine, I have a preaching engagement, she will never agree for you to sit back home. This is my last journey to this. She has somebody who is there, say, Lumba, waiting. This place was so painful. The thing was so terrible. I was looking at her. I said, I will cancel the meeting. He said, don't try it. I said, okay. He said, don't try it. Don't try it. Go, go. Hi. He said, go. I said, go. I packed my things. I left. Every day I will call. I called the day I ministered lastly in the place. I called in the morning. She told me that she went to see the doctor. The doctor said, well, let's watch this thing. If nothing changes, you're going to be operated upon. And she told me that news that morning. Hi. But you see, I still did what I have to do, come back, face another program, because she won't allow you to sit down. And just last Monday, or this week Monday, we are planning to go and see the doctor. And I made every provision, plan, and then came back in the evening for us to go. I entered my room. A strange question came to my spirit. You are going to see the doctor. What will you tell the doctor now? I said, where is this thing coming from? This is one thing we have planned. What will you tell the doctor now? Why are you going to see the doctor? While I was contemplating, she was discussing with the children. I heard her laugh, this kind of loud laughter like that. I ran out. I said, for weeks now, you have not laughed like this. What's going on? She said, Daddy, I don't think I'm going to see any doctor again. No. I said, what's going on here? He said, I went to school. I sat down, stood up, taught in the class, did everything. I even trekked back home. It's like, 2 days later, I said, I'm just looking at you like as if I'm watching film. She's strong. The pain disappeared. Going at what, even this morning, I said, what? She said, don't cancel that meeting. Go. Don't cancel it. Kai, may God help you, ministers, with good wives. Severally. That was the time I was supposed to preach in Abuja. She was not okay. I said, I will cancel. Let me call them. He said, don't try it. I will be fine. Go. Don't. She wouldn't allow. So that I just sit there and be looking at my face. What can you do? The truth is that what? You just sit down and pray. That's all. Said, no. Go. You see, many a times we don't see their part. And we think they're not paying prices. Do you know that God, he will reward that woman? Do you know that women, pastor, that is also their own ministerial destiny? To make sure that man, fulfills the assignment God has given to him. So, what do you find fulfillment? What led me to this story is, I hate, in any time I have preaching engagement and then my body is doing something, I hate it. So, I won't do what? That's not something that pains me like that. So, what do you find fulfillment in doing? Are you getting what I'm saying now? You find fulfillment. Please, let's put money by the side. I know why I'm emphasizing on this. This is the trouble. This is the greatest tragedy of our generation. That we have put money as everything. Money as everything. We can't even define success again. Success in ministry is not about money. It's not about building. It's not about, it's about lives. How much of Jesus is inside the people? Sometimes you sit down like this, you stand as a minister, you will sit and you watch out on Sunday morning, cars parked, and something that tells you, yes, we are doing well. We are doing well. Now, are we saying that those things are bad? No. But you must understand the main thing. Somebody said, let the main thing be the main thing. You must understand the main thing. You must understand that. So, what gives you fulfillment? What gives you fulfillment? It's not every... Listen. You must... It's not everywhere you go that they must bless you like that with money. Excuse me, who are you serving? Who are you working for? You are working for God. And he knows how best to bless you. Somebody's not hearing what I'm saying. He knows how best. Just keep doing the thing. Just keep serving. Just keep working on lives of men. Do you know there are some people that God will bring close to you? Eh? You look at them. Money they don't have. But keep working in their lives. Such people, years to come. You don't know what that people, the impact they will play in your life, they make in your life. You will not know. You will not know. And so many times, you know, the elderly ones, the way they talk, the way we talk, are you hearing me now? We talk as if we don't have our small, our little beginning. Yes. They talk as if no. You just came up, you just enter into the, you know. And then you won't let other people know. Let the one coming up. You pass through this stage. These are the things you pass through. There are times you stood preaching to the people. Well, you have not eaten. And you are telling them it's well. And you are telling them that God will bless you. And you are telling them that no, you won't lack anything in your pocket. So, we must understand this. So, what gives you fulfillment? Then, what can you do without getting tired quickly? Now, before I come to here, to this one, do you remember in John chapter 4, Jesus came to the well. Do you remember now? And he was tired before he got to the well. Now, his disciples went out to buy food, buy bread. Do you remember that story? Now, while they were out there, a woman came, the Samaritan woman, to fetch water. Now, Jesus engaged the woman. At the end of the day, the woman, you know, accepted the Lord, surrendered her life, and the woman now rushed out to this. You know, when the disciples came back, and they saw Jesus and the woman, but later, they brought the bread. I said, Oga, see the bread. We have brought the food. The man looked at them and said, no, keep this your bread. Somewhere. Just keep it aside. So what's going on here? He said, me, I have eaten food though. Me, I don't believe food. Ah! And they were asking, is there anybody, that brought food to him? He said, I have a food to eat. Hallelujah. I have a food to eat that you don't know anything about. My food is doing the will of my Father. What happened at that time? Fulfilled. Hunger disappeared. Hunger disappeared. So, what is it that... What do you do without getting tired quickly? That's another point. You see, Paul spoke in the hall of time, in Ephesus. He spoke from around 10 in the morning or 11 in the morning till midnight. The man talking didn't get tired, but the one that was listening. The man that was listening got tired, dozed off, and then fell down and died. But the person that was preaching, standing for how many hours, was the one that went down. He said, how is the strength to went down, go through down the stairs? Went there, raise him up, and carry him up. He was not tired. So, in ministry, I'm just telling you what will help you. So, you do small things like that. You know, some people in minister, this morning say, Oga. Oga. Sometimes it's prayer. You want to lead people in prayer and you do small things, say, Oga. And then you don't, you Oga you are talking about because of the vision and burden. Kai, are you hearing me now? The man is not getting tired. because of the burden. The vision is hard. So check yourself. What are those things you can do? You do it without getting tired quickly. Check yourself. You know, this thing I'm telling you, this indices I'm giving you, they will help you. In fact, before you're out here, you will have known. Eh? This is the area. This is my ministerial destiny. Then, what do you do that blesses others? What do you do that blesses others? I've seen some people, when they come out, you know, you preach. Yes, I know we listen, even music. I know that we are singing unto the Lord. I know that. But you see, it's not good that you minister and people can't pick anything. People are not blessed. Are you getting what I'm saying now? People are not blessed. People are not blessed. So you must understand that, because if you are called into music, like I talk about the dynamics, you must also understand those things. You must know there is warfare song, there is a worship song, there is an encouragement song. So sometimes we call you to come and lead us in praise worship, and then you start singing encouragement song for us. You know, and the thing is not that, I mean, from warfare to encouragement song, from there to worship. From worship again, they start telling all the story about life. You know, there are music that are meant, though they say it's gospel music, but they're just telling you the story of his life or her life. And they started telling us the story about your life. Then another one, you are telling God he must settle you. And then what you are doing there is all the name of words, worship. And so somewhere around that side, you lift him up like this, you bring him down, you take him this way, you take him this way. The man is just, sometimes they will just stop and be looking at you like this. Huh? And if it's a kind that will not be looking at your face direct, the person will just bend like this. And then you will think he's in the spirit. Your ministration, I'm taking him deep into the spirit. While the man is wondering, what is going on here? What do you do that blesses others? What do you do that, you know, others are blessed. Others are blessed. When you finish, God, it's like this man should continue. We want to hear this man again. You know, when you do, you bless others. When they sit under you and you counsel them. Do you know there are people that are just counseling? When they come to you for counseling. Is it last year? One woman came to my office, the pastor's wife. And she said she needed to see me, wanted us to discuss. And she sat down. This woman talked about 45 minutes, getting to 1 hour. I didn't say a word. I was just listening. At a point, she stopped. She said, so somebody can listen to me. That was all. So somebody can listen to me. So, what do you do that blesses others? So, just canceling. You discover that people will like to come to you. When you cancel them, no. They are blessed. They are helped. They want to hear you. Sometimes we surprise people. One lady, young lady, her parents sent her to me. And they say, Pastor Chika, that man is tough. Oh, that man is... And so she came. She talked, she saw a different thing. Somehow I sense it that she's coming to meet one tough man. So I relaxed. So she came with talk. I asked her so many things. You know, before you know it, she opened up her life and we start talking. In fact, when she get back home, you know what she told her? She said, this man captured my heart. I thought the way people talk that I'm going to meet one man. Oh, this man so simple, followed me. And then, is that the way the man is? That's what you told me. That's what because I know that. If you want to get young people, relax. Talk with them. In my children in the house, sometimes, in fact, the other day, we are talking about football. And we discuss. We say, which one will win now? We talk. I call some names of footballers. We also talk that. And they, daddy, yes. So that they can also come close to you and discuss things that matters with you. So, find out. What do you still do if nobody paid you? What do you still do if nobody paid you? Nobody paid you. You see, for ministers, you know, pastors, ministers that pioneer work, new works. One question you must ask yourself is, from who do they receive their monthly allowance? I don't know whether what I'm saying makes sense to you. They will start the work. Later on, pastors will be under them that also will be receiving their monthly allowance. But them themselves, when they started that work, who was giving them their own monthly allowance? No, are you following me now? You notice that they were doing that thing joyfully, even though not being paid. That's a sign that they are called to do the work. But you know, God will help us. There are ministers today, especially in the music side now. They can't do anything in any church except if you have agreed on what you will pay them. And so sometimes on Sundays, they have about 4 engagements on Sunday. They will come to your church, perform 30 minutes. You collect their money. And they rush to another place. 30 minutes, collect their money. And they rush to another place. 30 minutes, collect their money. They rush. In fact, once you are delaying the person, it's already, it will leave you people there. Because already I've given them their time. That is coming by 10 a.m. And then rush there, collect the money, and like that. And then you tell me that person, no, the person should check very well. It's possible he's not even calling to music ministry. You know what is controlling him? It's the money. It's the money. And once you have not gotten the money, you will do the thing anyhow. To let you know that he's angry. Even though he's performing, sometimes he come any time because you didn't settle the money with him. So you're expecting him by 9, you will see him by 10. I was in a church somewhere. Their leader, worship leader, the young man came in. The service started by 8. The young man came in by 10. Sorry. The young man came in by 10 a.m. What surprised me was immediately he entered. Small time, they made chance for him. He had to carry a microphone. I called the pastor. I was sitting close to the pastor. I said, I would like to talk to this young man. Because in the first place, why are you supposed to hand over that microphone to him? So, what is it that you still do and do with all your heart, even when you're not paid? Do it with all your heart. Listen, ministry is all about sacrifice. Do you hear what I said? You put in your money, you put in your time, you put in everything. What do you have that is not given to you, that you didn't receive from heaven? In fact, where I was ministering yesterday, we read the scripture that said that Christ, everything was created by him and for him. By him and for him. Everything. Everything you have. Everything you have. The gifts you are manifesting, the gift you are manifesting, he gave to you for his own honor and glory. For his honor and glory. So, I have a pastor friend in church. Anytime I stop in church to sleep over, he always want me to sleep in his house. But me, I'm one kind person. I don't like, sometimes I feel I'm disturbing somebody. So I'll prefer to lodge in a hotel or something like that. So one day like that, I traveled with my wife. We stopped in Jos, sleep over in Jos. So that night, I have another minister. We are going to the same meeting together. He also slept in Jos, but he went to the man's house and slept in his house. So they were talking, and he now told him that me, I'm in Jos that night. And I mean, So the man called me on phone. Said, Pastor Chika, we greeted. He said, I know you are in Jos now. I said, it's true. My voice was down because the man don't catch me with that. I said, it's true. Immediately I told my wife, there's a problem here. When we'll be coming back, we will sleep in the house. So my wife said, okay. So while coming back, I went to his house. Then when I entered, he came and picked me. Actually, one of the reasons that even if I enter just by 11 p.m., whatever, he would drive and come and pick me. Early in the morning, he would take me to the park. So I felt, hi, let me not be disturbing this man like this. So immediately we entered the house that night, I begin to apologize. I say, I beg. This thing is, I feel like I'm disturbing you. Then he turned to his wife. He said, please, honey, the man that dedicated this house, can you remember two questions? He asked us two questions before he prayed. Then the woman looked at him and said, yes, I can remember. First one, he said, promise me that this house will serve as missionary's house. That this house will accommodate missionaries. When they are on transit and they come here, you will accommodate them. You will keep them. You will feed them. So I was listening. So at the end, they turned to me. Said, did you hear what my wife said? This is what this house is for. This is what this house is for. So he believed God gave him the house for this purpose. And then you that God has, you know, you are gifted in singing. That is your calling. And then you believe it is for your own profit. It's for his purpose. It's for his purpose. What do you do that draws people closer to God? This above all of the ones I've mentioned. What do you do that draws people closer to God? You know, as a preacher, you finish preaching. Sometimes we get feedback. Oh, thank God for the message. Thank God for your teaching. This has helped me so much. This has, you know, even sometimes the music. You finish singing, leading a worship song. And people, you know, are weeping. People are, you know, they are lifted up. You know, they are blessed. They are drawn closer to God. What is it that you do that draw people closer to God? Hallelujah. Very, very important. You have to ask yourself these questions. And if you have answered them, and answered them sincerely from your heart, you can't be confused. Are you hearing me now? Clarity must have come to you. The direction, this is what God, this is it. This is your ministerial destiny. And if that understanding is there, then the next thing is a matter of development. You have to develop it. You have to now begin to know this area. Now, buy books that actually, you know, talks about that. And then sit under people. Find out genuine, not anyhow ministers, genuine, you know, ministers who are also have that calling that you can be close to them. Then, because you need to work on that to develop it. Hallelujah. If you don't develop it, you will also be operating beyond, you know, what God has ordained that you will do. So it's very important that you also work towards developing it. And then as you continue to work on it, you see that you will, at the end of the day, you will maximize the grace, the ministry that God has put into your life. Can we bow down our heads and pray? I don't know if this teaching has helped you. It's important to you. Very, very important to you. Very, very important to you. To know and understand. And if clarity has come to you, and you discover that before now, you have been doing something else, something outside your ministerial destiny, It is time to repent and say, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Listen. Listen. After meetings like this, people can resign. Are you hearing me now? Please, I'm serious now. This is a serious issue. A moment. After meetings like this, people can resign from something they are doing. They know that this is not it. People can resign. I tell you, people can take some tough decisions. I went to preach somewhere, and after my teaching, sir, somebody who he has a church, pastoring the church, his own church, after my teaching, he closed the church. Yes. Closed the church. He met me and said, no. He closed the church, completely closed the church. Took the members, handed the members over to another ministry. Because in the first place, why did he open the church? Who told you to open the church? Why are you there? So if someone that is there because church gives money, and then the truth came and he saw himself that this is not where I belong, he obeyed the Holy Spirit. Close the church. Close it. So it's a time to take tough decisions. This program is meant to help you understanding your mysterious destiny. When I saw this, I said, this is God. Just like Paul said, concerning spiritual gifts, I don't want you to be ignorant. I hear the Holy Ghost saying, concerning ministerial destiny, I don't want you to be ignorant. That's what I had the Holy Spirit. I don't want to be ignorant of this. Anybody God have used to bring this meeting up, I'm talking about our daddy here, God want to use him to help you. Maybe at the earlier stage of your life, so that you can't continue on this error. And you must be grateful to God. And then if it is certain, you are sure, glory to God. Hey, there's nothing good like being sure. Hallelujah. Then you can give all your best. Is somebody hearing me now? Because if you are sure I'm in it, I'm the right thing, doing the right thing, give your best. Give all your time. Give all your strength. Do it with all your heart. Give it your best. Give it your best. Can you talk to God and ask the Lord to help you? Tell him you're sorry if you have been doing the wrong thing. And then if already before now you've discovered it, you are in it, then thank him for also helping you to help to establish you in this so that you can run. And then begin to ask him for the grace to fulfill your ministry. Because that's another thing. Paul said to Archippus, say, tell Archippus to fulfill his ministry. So it's another thing. To discover it is one thing. To be in it, doing it is another. Then to fulfill it. Ask the Lord to help you to fulfill this ministry. As many as he wants you to reach out to, as many as he wants you to be a blessing to, ask the Lord to help you to fulfill the ministry. In Jesus' name. Almighty Father, we thank you this moment for speaking to our hearts. Thy word has come, and you said that your word will never come out to you void. The word you sent out will never come back to you void. It must fulfill the purpose for which you send it out. And therefore, this word that has come out and has gone out, I ask you, God, that you back this word up. And let there be signs and wonders. Let there be things happening in the lives of people. Let there be adjustment and realignment in the lives of men. In the name of Jesus Christ, I decree that this word has come with grace, so that it will enable you also to fulfill ministry. And therefore declare that you will fulfill your ministry in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, mighty Father. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Can I hear a louder amen?
go ahead and appreciate our Father in the Lord. Do it like you mean it.
Gateway Christian Center. Experience life.